Designated evening. It is one of the major services, one of the two major services, and I was glad that we have designated a major service to a time of intercession and prayer and to challenge to pray throughout the week, throughout the month, throughout the year, so that we can see God do the things that we so desperately need Him to do in our world, in our nation, in other nations, in our families, in our personal lives, in this church, in this community. Many times Brother Taylor mentions this community. I believe we're here for this community. You say, well, there's a church over there and a church over there. Well, you really don't want to, I don't want to be mean or anything, but that's a different kind of church over there. Amen. And this church on the corner, I'm sure, is doing a good job, but I'm sure there's plenty of souls left in this community, so we don't want anyone from that church. We just want to reach the people that God sent us here to reach, and reach the people through the media that the Lord has opened the door for us to reach, and we're committed to doing that. Preaching is what I do. It's what I'm called to do. But the Bible said that, and as you look at it, you see prayer popping up as a priority. It always pops up taking precedence over preaching, because without saturating the preaching with prayer, we can't expect the result from the word. As Peter preached, the hearts were pricked, and we gave all the credit to the anointing on Peter rather than the 120 days of intercession in that upper room. They were praying and they were interceding, and the Lord told them they're going to need the Spirit to do the work, but that power is released through prayer. Not just getting a theological degree and declaring the word alone. Amen. So we're on the right track. I'm so excited about what's coming. I'm so glad to know that the light at the end of the tunnel is not a freight train. Can you say, man, coming through the tunnel? I've seen that happen before, but this is for real. God is answering. God is hearing. And I pray specific. It's called supplication. If you want to know what that's all about, it is definite, definitive, specific request. It's coming to God, not in a general sense, but in a specific way. And the supplication is part of the kind of praying that brings such powerful results from God. So we're going to open with prayer. We're going to close praying, praise God. And I pray that we will have a prayerful Christmas, and we won't let up because of the holiday. Amen. Keep it a holy day. Keep praying. Keep interceding, and God will keep blessing us. Praise God.
Hallelujah. God is good, isn't it? Yes. Father, we thank you tonight for your great word. Thank you for your loving kindness, Lord. Hallelujah. Lord, you said pray that you enter not in the temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. So Lord, help us to look to thee, to turn to thee, Lord God. Help us to resist the flesh, Lord God, and cling to the spirit of God. God, have your way tonight, Lord. Stir our hearts, stir our minds, Lord. Help us to stand on the word of God. For your word is forever settled in heaven, Lord God. Your word is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. So we thank you tonight, Lord God, as we come to pray and seek your face, Lord God. Help us to cry out unto thee out of a pure heart, being firm, sincere, and sound in the faith. Let your will be done tonight, Lord God. We thank you for the victory. In Jesus' name we pray and for the glory of God. Amen.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. We're going to begin a little different tonight. Kayla has a song, I understand. And she's ready to come up and start the service. Praise the Lord. I'm proud of Kayla. I'm so glad. Did you know you're a miracle? I know your mom and daddy probably tell you that we prayed to get you here, and God answered prayer. She's a miracle child. She's not supposed to have no kids, but Kayla says God is on the throne. Praise God. She don't even have to say it, just by being. And the Lord has not only brought her here, but he has healed of the things that threatened her in so many ways, and I'm just glad she's here tonight. She's my buddy, and she's our pal. Hallelujah. And she's going to bless us tonight with a song.
Hallelujah. Oh, holy night, the stars are brightly shining. It is the night of our dear Savior's birth. Long lay the world in sin and error pining, till he appeared and the soul felt its worth. a thrill of hope. The weary world rejoices, for yonder breaks a new and glorious morn. Fall on your knees, oh, hear the angel voices, oh, nigh, divine, oh, nigh, when Christ was born, oh, nigh, divine, oh, nigh, oh, nigh, divine.
She hit the high note. Praise the Lord. I was praying she would hit the high note. Praise God. I can't do that. I just can't do that. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Amen. Praise God. Lord, we thank you tonight. We thank you tonight. If there is a theme this Christmas and moving into prayer, the Bible said, in all things with prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving. And it's so easy to forget about that thanksgiving part because our needs are so desperate. We rush right into the presence of God with our petition. But the Bible said you've got to be expressing gratitude when you approach God in prayer. In all things, in prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving. That's not some little, you know, something that it isn't necessary. It's absolutely essential. And that's why this morning's message was based on 2 Corinthians 9:15. Thanks be unto God for his unspeakable gift. Can you say amen? So we want to be thankful this Christmas. Thanksgiving kind of gets all the press, and we find ourselves thanking God for this nation and for the bounty and the blessing on America, and that is appropriate. But the thanks we give at Christmas goes beyond the bounty and blessing upon this nation materially, and it goes right to the core of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Thank you, God, for coming. Thank you for sending your Son here. Can you say amen? And maybe we can learn this song tonight if I can find it in the order that we have it. It's just a song that I think we might be able to sing the chorus. Thank you. How many are thankful that he came to us tonight? Well, let's sing this from our heart before the Lord tonight. And let's thank him for coming. Let's just say it's a chorus more than anything, a few verses. And let's just thank him for coming tonight. Praise the Lord. If you want to catch that light, just for now. Thank you. Thank you, Father. Thank you for coming, Jesus.
Your birth, my life. Your death, my price. Your rights, my home. Your loss, my home.
Your death, my pride.
everybody say thank you, Jesus. Would you just thank you tonight? Just thank you tonight. Thank you, Lord, for the unspeakable gift. Thank you, Lord. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. We love you, Lord. Thank you. Praise God. Hallelujah. Amen. This looks kind of like it needs me to wash it off or wipe it off or something. Let's see if it plays tonight. Praise God. Hallelujah. He rubbed it on his belly and it's bigger than mine. I know it's clean now. Hallelujah. Praise God. Taking good care of him, Sherry. Praise the Lord. Amen. Thank you, Heavenly Father. We love you, Lord. We thank you. We thank you, Father. Wonderful Savior. How we praise you tonight. Are you thankful tonight, this Christmas? Is this a time of great gratitude to the Lord for what he's given us in Jesus Christ tonight? Praise the Lord. And it's too... I think it is. Yes, it is. Praise God. Hallelujah. That'll be just fine. We're giving thanks. That's what this preliminary praise is all about before we pray tonight. With thanksgiving, we're approaching the throne of God, particularly here, Christmas time tonight. Oh, that's good. Yeah, that's good. Hallelujah.
The Bible says it's a good thing to give thanks to the Lord. Amen.
Yeah. Yes, Jesus. Yes, Jesus.
I come before you today.
Sing with us.
And there's just one thing that I want to say. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord.
Don't you think this is a good Christmas song? Thank you, Lord.
For all you've given to me. The blessings that I cannot see. Thank you, star. I will bless your name.
A
thank
present
you,
to God, to give
Lord.
You the thanks tonight.
You took my sin and my shame. You took my sickness and healed all my pain. Thank you, Lord.
Yes, you did.
Thank you, Lord.
With a grateful heart.
With a grateful heart. Song of praise with an outstretched arm, I will bless your name.
Christians all over the world are showing gratitude.
We thank you for all you've done.
Thank you, Lord.
For all you're going to do.
Thank you, Jesus.
Oh, we bless you, we bless you, we bless you, we bless you, Lord.
Would you give him the gift of gratitude this Christmas? Honor him with thanksgiving. Hallelujah.
Oh,
hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Jesus.
Thank you, Lord.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You're so worthy of what we offer you here today. Soak us, Holy Spirit.
Thank you, Lord.
Soak us. Hallelujah.
With a grateful heart.
With a grateful heart. With a song of praise. With an outstretched arm, I will bless your name.
Hallelujah. What a worthy God we serve tonight. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. If you lose gratitude for what God has done for you, if you forget to thank him and you relegate that to some day that we thank him for material blessings and even the blessings on this nation, and that's very appropriate. But we need to thank him for coming taking on flesh, going to the cross and taking our place. That's something that I don't need my life to be perfect to thank Him for. I don't need to be without pressure to thank Him for that. I don't need everything to be smooth in my life to thank Him for that. That's the constant stimulation for thanksgiving, that nothing around us should be greater to take away the joy of our salvation. If it is, then your salvation needs to be put back on the top shelf. Can you say amen? I'll tell you the truth tonight. Our family is one of those dysfunctional doo-doo-doo families. And I don't say that just to be funny tonight. I'm saying it because I know Jesus Christ. And I'm praying. And God is still on the throne. And He's not finished yet. Praise God. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. So I have a holy anticipation of good. David put it this way in Psalm 27:13. He said, I had fainted, been crushed by it all, unless I believed to see the goodness of God in the land of the living. Amen. So I'm believing to see God's goodness expressed in answered prayer and deliverance and healing and help and salvation in the name of Jesus. So since you rest your voice now and just be blessed tonight, and let's kind of look at this season from Mary's perspective. And there is a service Sunday morning. I will be brief. I know you're going to laugh about that, but I do not plan. I'm doing it all now. That's what I'm getting it all out now, so that we can just have a time of great rejoicing and thanksgiving. Every song is to give thanks to the Lord for the unspeakable gift of His Son and Himself through His Son to die for you and for me and to give us eternal life and to help us through this fallen world until we get home. He said, I'll never leave you and I'll never forsake you. I'll go with you through it all. Amen.
Here in my arms tonight.
incentive to pray tonight. Scripture said in the book of Romans that if he loved us enough to give us his only begotten son. When he said give him to us, it doesn't mean to lay in a manger to evoke sentimental feelings. When it said to give him to us, to unto us a child is born, a son is given. It means given up to die as a sacrifice lamb in our place. And Paul's reasoning was, if God loved us enough to do that, how will he not also with him freely give us all things? If he wouldn't withhold heaven's best, there's nothing any greater to show the generous heart of God than what he has done when he gave us his only begotten son. So pray on. Amen. Now, the audio quality may not be as good, but just before we hear from Jim Sumbell and pray tonight, amen. I just feel this song is ordained for somebody in this room tonight that's kind of give up on prayer and give up on praying. And if I believe that God wants us to pray on. How many believe God wants you to pray and keep on praying? Never give up. Pray without ceasing doesn't mean to go to Walmart and just be praying up and down the aisles constantly in a state of prayer, because you couldn't function and you just couldn't. Pray without ceasing means never quit utilizing the privilege and power of prayer. Never let discouragement keep you from calling on the Lord. Never let distractions cause you to quit praying. Keep utilizing the privilege and power of prayer, because it's in that, it's the fervent prayer of a righteous man, and fervency will cause it to be consistent and persistent in prayer. The Bible said it avails much. I don't understand the full mystery of prayer. There are books on it and people who say they do. I still don't understand the mystery of how a sovereign God with all this power requires us to pray to release that power. But that's the primary way that he wants us to demonstrate our faith and trust in him, is by making him our source and continuing to come before him. Can you say amen? So I got a message for you tonight this Christmas. Pray on. Don't even let up because it's Christmas and say, well, I'll start my prayer life like I start my diet. Can you say amen after the first of the year? No, pray right on through. Forget about the diet over the holidays. Amen. It's a time of celebration. But pray right on through, because it's so vital and so essential. If this place becomes a house of prayer like God designed it to be, we're going to see family members saved. We're going to see people in this community saved. We're going to see lives changed. We're going to see people healed and delivered and set free. If we continue this course, so pray on tonight. Praise God. praise gathering of Christian leaders, ministers, worship leaders, Christian artists, and they all came together for this great time of praise and fellowship, and he really chose a message that I believe is close to the heart of God. If it was that way in 94, just think how it is now out there in the Christian world and how the paradigm has changed, and the house of prayer has become a house of entertainment for many. And God is calling us back to those fundamental truths that brought the mighty revivals of old. And one of those great foundation stones of true revival is intercessory, effective intercessory prayer. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. So let's listen and be inspired to pray tonight. The eyes of the Lord indeed run to and fro throughout the whole earth to show himself strong in behalf of those whose hearts are perfect toward me, saith God. Therefore, as it is written, I am looking, as I looked in ancient times, I looked for someone to stand in the gap and make up the hedge, that judgment would not fall, but mercy would cause a space for repentance to come. Yea, and I'm looking tonight, I'm listening to hear the cry of my people. Cry unto me that I may answer thee and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not, saith God. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord. I will not let discouragement defeat me tonight. I will not let other people's lack of faith stop me from believing God for my family. I will not let a general attitude in the church world rob me of the blessings that have been promised me by my Lord and my Savior. He suffered and died to give them to me tonight, and I claim them by faith, and I pray on. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Oh, give the Lord some praise tonight. We didn't come here to play church, and we didn't come here to pet the devil. Can you say amen? I know you got it tough. It's a tough world. I'm not going to tell you the road is going to get any better. If you've got to have a smooth road to serve God, it won't be long before you cave in. It won't be long before you throw in the towel. It won't be long before you quit God and question him. It won't be long before the devil has you accusing God of unfaithfulness instead of you being faithful to trust him. Can you say amen? Because it couldn't possibly be your fault. It couldn't possibly be my fault. So it must be God's fault. What a liar he is. He's come to rob you of the victory that is promised in Christ. Can you say amen? But that victory is there nonetheless, whether we take the land or whether we live in bondage as slaves. Amen. I want you to know the promised land, God backs up the promise. And when someone had the courage to cross over that river, amen, giants fell. Walled cities fell and fierce armies fell back. Can you say amen? There's victory when the church rises up, prays fervently, and believes God and hangs on till the answer comes. And I believe God is here to challenge us. Do you like to be challenged? You want? Well, I didn't see any hands go up, but let me just run this by you, whether you like it or not. How many want victory? May I see your hand? Do you want victory? Then you got to be challenged, because you can't have it by being petted. If I pet you, I will help the devil destroy you. If I tell you I understand why you are discouraged and defeated, and I do understand discouragement, and I have been defeated before, but I'm tired of being defeated. Can you say, man, I don't want to be defeated anymore. I don't want somebody to tell me they understand when I quit trusting God. I want somebody to tell me, you can't do that, preacher. You got to rise up. Can you say, man, hallelujah. God wants to answer. God wants to hear. But we got to get beyond this old flesh and this old realm of impatient flesh that questions God instead of looking, having a... Listen, the effectual, fervent prayer, listen, of an uncompromisingly righteous man or woman availeth much. And whatever we ask in prayer, what? Questioning? Doubting? No, whatever we ask in prayer, believing, we shall what? We shall receive. receive. Ask that you might receive. Heretofore, you've asked nothing in my name. Ask that you might receive, that your joy may be full. Can you say amen? When God comes through, when God answers prayer, joy rises up in the camp. And the Bible said of those who had achieved that victory, blessed, happy to be envied. Say happy to be envied. Blessed are the people that know. Say it loud. Say it proud. Hallelujah. The joyful sound. When does the joyful sound arise among the saints of the living God? When prayers begin to be answered. When victories are won. Hallelujah. Then you hear a sound coming. Praise God. And it's a sound of joy. The songs of victory. When God turned again the captivity of Zion, then was our mouth filled with laughter. Our tongues filled with song. We were as them that dream. It was so good. Amen. We couldn't hardly believe it was happening to us. And I believe God is calling us to that place. And God's not going to call us to that place and disappoint us. He's calling us there so he can move mightily. So come with me. How many will go with me? March with me. Amen. Come on. You want to go over and take the land? Let's go up to the enemy's camp and let the enemy know that we've come to take back everything the devil has stolen. He came to steal, kill, and destroy. But Jesus said, I came to give you life and to give it to you more abundantly. So listen to this message. Be challenged tonight. It was hard to get Jim Cimbala from the Brooklyn Tabernacle in New York to come all the way to Florida. But we captured him and we got him to preach just for us tonight. And I'm so glad he's confirming what God is doing right here already.
They were shaken, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and spoke the word of God with boldness. My house shall be called house of prayer. They had this instinct. When in trouble, pray. When intimidated, pray. When challenged, pray. When persecuted, pray. When you're in trouble, pray. In fact, this thing called prayer, whatever it is so unique. It's not like what we're used to. You know, we talk about pray, we say prayers. Most of them, a lot of them are mental prayers. This thing called praying is so deep that when the Apostle Paul got converted, and he was first Saul of Tarsus, this violent persecutor of the church, Jesus went to Ananias, and the Lord appeared to Ananias in Damascus and said, go to this man, this Jew, this church persecutor named Saul of Tarsus, and pray for him. And Ananias said, you know, I know about this man. This man is trouble with a capital T. And Jesus said, as if this was proof that everything had changed. No, Ananias, you can go, for behold, he prays. He prays. You can go now because he's in that room blind somewhere waiting for you because he actually, for the first time in his religious life, is offering a true prayer. And because he's praying, you can go and not be afraid. It was as if that was the sign whether somebody was the real deal with God. Behold, he prays. And that same Apostle Paul, when he writes to Timothy, and he wants to encourage him how to do God's work, he says this, first of all then, I want supplications. First of all, in your church, Timothy, first of all, before anything else, supplications and prayers and intercessions. And thanksgiving to be made for all men. That's first of all. It doesn't matter what your tradition is or what American Christianity says. The Word of God says, first of all then, I want supplications because we got to remember, Timothy, my house shall be called a house of prayer. Later on in the same chapter, he says, and then I remember, Timothy, I want men everywhere to lift up holy hands without wrath or doubting. And I want them to pray. That's the sign of a Christian church. Paul says, men praying with holy hands without wrath or doubt. In fact, the book of Revelation says that when the four and twenty elders fall at the feet of Jesus, they have these golden bowls. And you know what's in the bowls? This incense that is so fragrant to Christ. It's the prayers of the saints. I mean, what must prayer be to God that he keeps it in bowls in heaven? Just just imagine when you and I kneel or stand or pray seated and we really open our heart to God, somehow those things are kept. They're so precious to God. My house shall be called a house of prayer. And we have, in the day that we live in, a lot of revisionism going on. But it's not coming from Washington, it's coming from the church. We're revising what a church is today. The Bible says, and they continued, the early church, they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and in fellowship and in the breaking of bread and in prayers. Now we've revised that and said, if you can get people for 1 hour on Sunday morning in a building, that's the church. That's not the church. We can use every device we want to get people for 1 hour and keep it early and keep it moving and keep it going because people have important things to do that day. That's not the story of the Christian church. That might be the story of my church or your church, but that's not the church Jesus built. And the history of revivals down through the ages have told us that whenever things have grown crass and commercial and secular and hard and worldly, God sends a revival. And what's always the sign of the revival? Behold, they pray. The church begins to pray. Moody goes somewhere in England and they begin to pray. Finney goes to upstate New York and they begin to pray. The Great Awakening happens in America and they begin to pray. Who was the fancy preacher? Nobody. They prayed. Where was the great music? Oh, they made great psalms, but that wasn't the great thing about it. It was they prayed. Prayer preceded it. Prayer kept it going. And the minute prayer ended, the Spirit of God lifted and we got back into one of those tougher times for the Church of Jesus Christ. You folks, young people who are going to these schools, let me tell you, as someone who went to college as a basketball player on a full scholarship and traveled around the country playing basketball, never had the privilege of going to a school like you folks are going to. The greatest thing anybody can learn in this building is how to pray. How to call on God so that God intervenes in a situation. They continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine, fellowship, breaking of bread, and in prayers. And that's the church. And I talk to well-known ministers. I talk to men, if I mention their names, a lot of you would know a lot of their names. And they tell me privately, off the record, hey, listen, I know I'm dazzling them with my books and my sermons, but Brother Jim, something's wrong. Because except for Sunday morning, 1 hour, I can't get a soul into the church. If I called a prayer meeting, not one-tenth of the congregation would come. They'll pay $20 for a concert, but Jesus can't draw. They'll pay all kinds of money to hear somebody do something, and that's wonderful. I'm all for that. But doesn't it awaken us that if the prayer meeting was called, that nobody would come when God said, my house shall be called a house of prayer. My house shall be called a house of prayer. And you represent all kinds of cities, and just ask yourself that question in the city you live in. What church do you know takes a night, a prominent night, with all the leadership there and says, if prayer is so great and his house shall be called a house of prayer, and we have all these promises, ask, you shall receive, seek, you shall find, knock, it shall be open, and all of those promises, call unto me and I will answer you. You would think the Christian church would say, time out. We're going to pray because God said when we pray, he'll intervene. The truth of the matter is, in the city I live in, New York, and the same is for Chicago and Philly and all of that, who are we kidding? More people are turning to crack than to Christ. There are more people trying crack than are getting baptized in water. That's the real deal. And preaching is not going to do it alone. And teaching is not going to do it alone. My house shall be called a house of prayer. That's what brings God's power and grace into a situation. The proof of that is, in the last 40 years, there's been more books written about marriages than in all the preceding 2,000 years of church history. More books in the last 40 years on marriages. Go to any pastor in America and ask him if there aren't more problems per 100 marriages today than at any time. And we have the most books. We got all the how-tos, but what we're missing is the grace of God. My house shall be called a house of prayer. A couple that prays together stays together. A church that prays together stays together. There'll be difficult moments. I'm not being simplistic. But God's word is true. Call upon me and I will answer you. I'll show you things you can't even imagine. Just give me a chance. There's more books on child rearing, quality time with your children ad nauseam. Talk to any pastor. There's more problem with children, young people in the church per 100 young people than at any time previous. It's not because we're lacking knowledge. It's not because we're lacking how-to, and all of that has its place. But brother, sister, when the rubber meets the road, we need the power of God. We need the grace of God. And listen to the promise as I come to a close. Therefore, let us come boldly to the throne of grace, so that we might receive grace and mercy to help us in our time of need. It doesn't say, therefore, let us come to the sermon. We in America have made the sermon the centerpiece. God never intended the sermon to be the centerpiece. The preacher, if he does his job, is supposed to get people to come to the throne of grace. Why? Because it's at the throne of grace that God gives grace and mercy. If a singer, a gospel singer, really does his job, and every gospel singer, listen to me, you're going to answer up one day, because God's going to say to you, did you bring people to where the action was at the throne of grace? If you just entertained them, if you just tickled them and gave them a little warm, fuzzy moment, woe unto you, because at the throne of grace, I could have changed their life. Pastor Cimbala, did you bring the people and dazzle them with your footwork and try to be clever, or did you make Jesus wonderful? So that they could come to the throne of grace. Therefore, let us come boldly to the throne of grace. That's why Jesus ascended to the right hand of the Father, so that he could make a way, so that me, with my problems, could go and receive grace and mercy to help me. Coming apart here. It's an awesome thing. Just an awesome thought. That we've created a religion kind of our own. And sometimes his house shall be called the house of prayer. In a lot of churches and a lot of services, you have everything but prayer. You have talks, readings, talent, choir, and my wife conducts a choir. I'm all for those things. But you get what I'm driving at? If it doesn't end up with somebody touching God and praying, who are we kidding?
Hallelujah. This is for later. Amen. Let's stand right where we are. If you'll just stand right where you are tonight. Praise the Lord. The needs that I hear of in this very small congregation are so great. This is just a handful of people, but we represent great needs before the Lord. And without being able to pray effectively, nothing I preach is going to make a whole lot of difference. I know faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God, but the expression of faith is not just claiming stuff. It's praying. It's believing God when we pray. It's taking our burden to the Lord and leaving it there in prayer so we can walk out from under it and praise him till the answer comes and keep on praying and be energized and be delighted in the Lord and not lose our gratitude and not let the devil steal from us anymore. I've seen so many shipwrecked lives. I saw my uncle's life shipwrecked before we pray tonight. Prominent preacher with the Church of God. Youngest man to achieve the rank of a district overseer in the history of the Church of God. He was that good at preaching. That good at theological understanding of how to answer the questions that put him up the ladder. He talked many times to Dave Wilkerson personally. Met him in New York. They had meals together. And you know how he ended up? With all of his preaching ability and great outlines and all of those credentials. Climbing the ladder to success in his denomination. You know how he ended up? He ended up an alcoholic. He ended up addicted to prescription drugs to where he would grind them to powder. He would go to three doctors because of a back problem he had. And he would go to three different doctors. Even after the back problem got better, he loved the way he felt from the prescription drugs. So he ground them into powder, Sean, and he began to mainline them with water and the drug. He wouldn't even swallow the Valium. He crushed it up, stuck it in his vein, until the veins of both arms collapsed. I don't know if you've ever seen someone who was a mainlining drugs shooting it into the vein. But after a while, the walls of the vein get so damaged by so many times the needle has pierced it until it collapses. And when the arm is held out, when my uncle would reach a Church of God preacher that one time had cast out devils and had seen people come to know Christ and pastored a church of 800 people in Kannapolis, North Carolina, the youngest man in the Church of God to achieve the rank of district overseer. That's where other preachers go to get instructions and guidance. So if you think that you just got it made and nothing can happen to you and you can do without praying and the devil will never get at you, you're very wrong about that. I'm not trying to scare you. I'm telling you the realities. He means business. He's seriously committed to your destruction. And God has given us privilege and power in prayer. Amen. And my uncle went to reach out for me to pray with him one night when he was on his hands and knees with migraine headaches, no peace, rocking and hitting his head on the headboard of the bed in his pajamas. And at 2 o'clock in the morning, I'm at my grandmother's house upstairs. And here's a Pentecostal preacher, tongue talking with credentials, rocking and hitting his head against the headboard. And I said, Uncle Billy, let's pray. And he reached out his hand, and when he did, I saw the indention where the vein had absolutely collapsed. The thing that I saw in jails when I ministered to people in jail, I saw in mental hospitals when people had been committed that were so mainline drugs until they just fried their own brain. And I saw it in a Pentecostal preacher. And I saw his marriage disintegrate. And I saw his ministry disintegrate. And I saw his walk with God disintegrate. And instead of leaving it there, I saw him come back to God on a Wednesday night at the Holy Church of God. I saw him rededicate his life to Jesus Christ. I saw him humble before the Lord. I saw him experience restoration. But his body had been so weakened because of the sin. I saw him in the hospital before God set him free. I saw him in the hospital strapped to a bed because he was going through delirium tremors. And I saw God set him free, but the doctor said his body was just, it was just wasted. His resistance was down. He was pale, and he walked outside 1 week before he passed out of 2 weeks before he passed out of this world from a Full Gospel Businessmen's meeting. We walked out to the car together, and he said, Bobby, I'm not worthy to preach anymore. And God could have restored his ministry. God has restored many ministers and ministries. But he said, there was this humility. He said, do you have any books I could borrow just to brush up a little bit? I just want to counsel people not to make the mistakes I have, not to take for granted the anointing or their walk with God, not to misjudge. I don't want them to be afraid of the devil, but I don't want them to misjudge their enemy. I want them to understand he's really committed to our destruction and the only victory's in Jesus Christ. And he said, Bobby, I believe God has taken the anointing that was on me to preach the gospel, and I believe he's taken that mantle, and I believe he's given it to you. I believe you have an extra anointing than your own calling. And he began to weep, and tears ran, and we were standing at the hood of my car, and his tears began to drip on the hood of my car as we stood there together, facing the hood of the car, looking at one another. He looked me in the eye, and he said, Bobby, he said, the anointing is more precious than silver and gold and prestige and any kind of church you may pastor. Oh, don't compromise. Don't compromise. Don't compromise. Don't give any place to the devil. What you have is precious. Hold on to it with everything you have. 2 weeks later, coming back from being a security guard at one of the phosphate mines, he went to sleep on State Road 39 at the wheel. The truck driver who came to his funeral that I and his brother-in-law conducted at a big Church of God full of people in Plant City. He said, I saw him cross the line, but he pulled back, and then just as we got, I saw him slump over the wheel, went to sleep at the wheel, and he crossed the line again. And he said, I tried to swerve to miss him, but it caught the car, and he was killed instantly. The truck driver wasn't hurt. But I talked to my cousin, his oldest son, who had to go and identify the body. And he said, Bobby, there wasn't one mark on him. You couldn't tell he had ever been in an accident of the magnitude of that accident. He wasn't cut up. He wasn't bloody, beaten, battered, blue, black and blue. Said he's just asleep. He just died instantly. God just took him home. Took him home, sealed him, took him home, saved. Can you say amen? So I'm going to tell you something right now. I'm not impressed by tongue talking if people aren't following Jesus close. I'm not impressed with your anointing if you're not following Jesus close. I'm not impressed with the size of a church if the man is not following Jesus. We're seeing Christian leaders with thousands of people fall right now. Can you say amen? And I'd like to say it's over. That's the end of it. Great revival is sweeping the land of holiness, but it is not yet. And there's more to come. There's more to come. Christian singers that we thought the songs they wrote were so precious and beautiful and powerfully sung, we thought they were devoted and found out they were double-minded. And when their sin came out, instead of being sorry, they were mad at the Christian community for not patting them on the back with their sin. So church, we need to pray and keep on praying. Because without revival, what about our kids? What about our kids? There are churches that can entertain them and get them in the building. But if it doesn't, they don't have an encounter with the living God. Amen. Did you know that the divorce rate among preachers, Sean, is rising right up there to the same divorce? Preachers, not just people in the pew. Preachers, did you know that your family is the object of Satan's attack? God wants to tear you apart. He wants to take away the sacred and interject the secular. Marriage vows aren't sacred to many Christians anymore. They look at it like a contract that can be broken because people don't pray in faith so that God can heal the hurt and the wrong. They just try to muddle through. And you can't muddle through these things. It takes God. It takes God. And I've seen enough defeat, destruction, backsliding. I've seen so much heartache. I've seen death prematurely because of backsliding. And I'm going to tell you something. I don't want to see one of your marriages fail. And I don't want to see one of you die prematurely. And I don't want to see one of you back in the world, amen, doubting God and blaming God. I want to see people come forward and seek Him again. Hallelujah, till He come and rain righteousness on us. Would you join hands tonight? Let's just pray together. Let's just pray together. Heavenly Father, I feel so inadequate tonight. I'm speaking words of truth from the Word of God as your servant here tonight. But I'm so keenly aware that without a move of your Holy Spirit, these words will fall on deaf ears. They will not penetrate hardened hearts. Father, but you can do that. By your Spirit, you can do that. Lord, there are children that are raised in church that are walking away from not just church. They're walking away from you. They have no relationship with you. Oh, God, only you can bring them back. They've already been there, done that. They've had the Sunday school lesson. They know the Bible verses. They've been in praise services. They've heard the Word of God, but they're walking away and they're following the course of this world. And Father, lest the world swallow them up and lest the enemy destroy them, we come to you in intercession tonight. We come to fight for our houses, our lands, our sons, our daughters tonight. We come to fight for the legacy of faith that you have left us, for the victory that you have promised us, Father. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah. I want you to know that I am upset tonight. I'm telling you, we better get upset. It's time for the church to get upset. Mama, it's time for you to get upset that your kids are lost. Daddy, it's time for you to get upset. Married man, it's time for you to get upset that the devil's trying to tear you apart what God has joined together. Married woman, it's time to get upset. Mashallah bakita na masata. Name that I take that fervency to prayer. Take it to God. Make your prayer white hot with passion to see God move. I feel that discouragement tonight. Hallelujah. And I'm praying that the Holy Spirit will come, that He will shake you from the top of your head to the soles of your feet. Amen. That you will not entertain discouragement and thereby give place to the devil. If you keep it up, he will win in spite of our intercessions. You've got to shut that door tonight. You must shut that door tonight. You have the authority in Jesus' name to shut that door tonight. Can you say amen? If I didn't shut that door, I would not be your preacher. If I did not shut that door, I would not be standing here tonight. I've not only got the discouragements I see in my own family always hounding me. Amen. In my own personal family, I see it in the family of God. Can you say amen? Oh, I would have quit. Threw in the towel. Praise God. Just live out my days and let me alone. Shadabakoso Salamaniti, but I'm called. Hanamagosilian, I'm commissioned. I have a mandate from God. Hanamashonamamiya, Nandanabakosila, Nandanabakosa, Nandanabokoronde de Mama, Salamanite, Andanabokosi, Andanabosata. Father, I praise you. I praise you. I praise you. Hallelujah. I believe in the goodness of God. I believe in the greatness of God. How many will join me in prayer and not let up through Christmas? How many will make prayer a priority? Amen. In your home and in your life. Praise God. Praise God. I've been praying for Mark. Amen. Mark is I don't know Mark very well. I don't think anybody knows Mark very well. He's a private person. Amen. But Sister Ruth told her son Mark, Brother Venable is praying for you. He prays for everybody by name. He calls your name. When I call Ruth's name, I call Mark, and I call her daughter, and I call her daughter's husband, and I call her grandson before the Lord. And she said, Mark, Brother Venable is praying for you. And you know what he said? He said, he's praying for you every day. You know what Mark said? This guy that we don't, you know, sometimes you think you know, but you don't know. He said, well, I'm praying for him every day too. Can you say amen? Well, that's a good sign. Hallelujah. I'm glad Mark is praying for me, and I'm praying for Mark. Well, if Mark is praying for me, and I'm praying for Mark, something's going to happen in Mark's life. Something's going to happen in my life. Can you say amen? Glory to God. Hallelujah. Confess your faults to one another and pray for one another that ye might be healed of the hurt, healed of what has happened to break you. Hallelujah. There's healing in his wings. Something's going to happen. Amen. It begins in the heart. Hallelujah. In the deepest, darkest despair and discouragement, the Son of Righteousness shall arise in your heart with healing in his wings. Hallelujah. There's a balm in Gilead. There is a physician there. John, sometimes it feels like a vortex. If you've ever seen a picture of a sea that is swirling round and round, sucking ships and anything in the vicinity down into that vortex. Sometimes you see what the devil is doing. He's creating this whirlpool, this vortex, and every vessel that gets near it is sucked down. Hallelujah. Let me tell you something. God is reaching out. Hallelujah. To deliver us. God is reaching down. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And I believe God's going to begin to move here like he did the first year that I was at the Holy Church of God, when some of you, amen, got that touch from heaven. Hallelujah. We were praying. God was moving. I was in the side room on my knees because I knew how inadequate I was to preach. But it wasn't my great preaching. It was God's great faithfulness, God's grace, God's mercy, God's power, God's spirit. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And my confidence after all of these years and walking with God in the anointing is taking a great shift. There's been a change. I am not dependent on my mere words. I'm dependent on God's Spirit. Hallelujah. 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 And therefore I expect things to happen. And I pray that you will open your heart. Open your heart. Open your heart to the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. The Comforter. The one called alongside you right now to help you. Hallelujah. The only one that can truly help you. Praise God. You don't have to die prematurely. You don't have to have your body emaciated. You don't have to do that. Hallelujah. Your body is the temple of the Lord. Amen. Your body is still the temple. You can't undo that. You can't walk away from that as if it never happened, like my uncle tried to do. It did happen. You go out tonight and join yourself to a harlot, you join Christ as sure as you're a Christian tonight. You can't unchristian yourself. I'm not saying you can go to heaven anyway. I'm saying God looks upon you as his child. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I don't like preaching funerals for people that didn't go home in God's timing. I don't like preaching funerals for people that the devil has defrauded and deceived. I don't like preaching funerals for people, amen, who only way God could secure them was to take them while they were sealed and saved. Amen. The judgment's beginning right at God's house. Make no mistake about it. It's beginning with me. I will not shun to declare unto you the whole counsel of God, because God cares about your soul. He cares about this ministry. He cares about what he's ordained it to accomplish. He cares that the gospel goes out of here to nations of the world. Can you say amen? You say, Brother Bumble, this doesn't seem very warm and fuzzy, Christmassy. It's not about the warm and fuzzy this year, my darlings. Hallelujah. Amen. It's about Jesus. It's about God. It's about answered prayer. It's about people getting saved. It's about families coming back together that the devil is trying to tear apart. It's about healing for the sick and deliverance for the captive. Glory be to God. Hallelujah. It's about Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. Make this a week of prayer. If I hadn't started praying when I did, I've always prayed, but not like I'm praying now. Not like I'm praying now. But I can tell you up front, if I hadn't started going to God in prayer and believing that that it would make a difference, I would have retired from. I wouldn't retire from preaching. I'll preach anywhere they open the door to hear. But I would not be a pastor of a church anymore. I would not be that. Because when I experience discouragement and I see all the things the devil is doing and the inroads he is making, it just adds to the burden, Sean. It just says, what's the point? What's the use? Has anybody here been blessed because Pamela and I have stood and our marriage has stood the test and we're still here preaching? Praise God. And there's nothing in my closet for you to find. There's nothing going to come out because there's nothing in there. Because God every now and then comes to my life and my heart, and me and God do a house cleaning. Can you say, man? I'm going to tell you something. Everything I swept under the rug, Holy Ghost, that's the first place he goes that throws that rug back. He got a Kirby. I said, he comes with a Kirby. Come on, that's that $600 vacuum. That'll suck it up through the rug. Can you say, man? Man, come to your house after you use that Electrolux with a Kirby. He going to find dirt on your floor. Amen. So God uses a Kirby, praise God. And he creates in us a clean heart, renews in us a right spirit, praise God. Amen. And then he tells us to pray now. Pray now, hallelujah. Pray now and see what happens. And things are beginning to happen. Amen. Not only are the good things happening, I must report to you, but the enemy Amen. Jumps up like he never jumps up because he fears when God begins to answer prayer and move. God is so good tonight. I'm encouraged in the Lord tonight. Amen. I want you to do something for me tonight that Mark is doing for me. I want you to stretch your hand this way. I want to help you by challenging you, by not letting things just rock on here and have a smooth road to defeat and discouragement. I want to challenge you. And I want you to follow me up out of your valley as I follow Jesus. I got to tell you this. I must. I know the time is going, but I must tell you this. God told me to tell you this. My son got delivered after 28 years of acute alcoholism through consistent, persistent prayer. Prayer like I've never prayed in all of my life. Praise God. Prayer over not one meal ever taken without praying for his deliverance. Not one meal. Not a donut and a cup of coffee without praying for his deliverance. I'm going to tell you, you want to be consistent in prayer? Intercede every time you eat. You will be consistent. Can you say amen? Come on, I'm serious. I said, I won't eat without praying. It's not just one time during the day. I'm going to pray without ceasing. I'm going to keep using the power and privilege of prayer. And I got a phone call from my son that his liver had been affected. He couldn't keep food on his stomach. He was passing blood. And the doctor told him that his liver was terribly damaged. His liver function level was terrible. And he figured he had about 6 months to live, my son. 28 years of acute alcoholism. How long you been praying for something before you threw in the towel? Before you give up on heaven? 28 years. And God said, I want you to pray more and I want you to pray harder than you've ever prayed. And my son called me and he said, Dad, told me the situation, what the doctor's report was. And he said, Dad, I'm not afraid to die. He said, if God gives me 6 months, try to make amends to family that I've hurt and wronged. And he said, I'll be ready to go because I have called upon him and he's now my king. And I will go out of this world with Jesus as my king. And I rejoiced with great joy. And I testified at pastors' meetings of what God had done with my prodigal. Can you say amen? And then I got a call with slurred speech. And I was born at night, but it wasn't last night. And I knew he had went through difficulties that had multiplied. He didn't get in church. He didn't get built up in the faith. He didn't go share his testimony. And he began to fall back. And he turned back to the only thing he knew to turn to when he couldn't lean on God. He turned back to alcohol. Listen, I don't care if you fall 100 times. I want you to get up. I said, I want you to get up. I don't care. Listen, God will not quit you. If you won't give up on God, I'm telling you, God won't give up on you. Can you? Oh, by the way, my son wasn't seeking healing. He didn't have any faith to be healed. He wasn't looking for healing. But at that throne of grace, there is grace and mercy. There's grace and mercy doesn't need you to make the plea. Grace and mercy makes the plea for you in your behalf. And without us praying for his healing, God healed his liver. Thank you for the hearty amens and the hand clap. If it was your liver, I believe you'd be real excited, or your son. Can you say amen? That was dying. Hallelujah. I said, God healed him. Woo! We didn't send no money to nobody. Jesus paid for that at the cross. Woe to them that sell what Jesus bought and paid for. Woe to them that sell. This cannot be bought with all the money in the world. The blood of the Son of God has purchased that salvation, that forgiveness, that restoration, and that healing. And after all of that, to see my son fall back. It was like somebody hit me in the stomach. And it knocked all the air out of me. And I said, oh God. Oh God. We had a talk on the telephone. He said, Dad, I want you to know I've quit it. Yes, I fell back, but I've quit it. And he told me somehow I know God's working in his life because I used to smoke a lot. In fact, I smoked my lunch money up. I weighed 122 pounds when I married Pamela because I never ate lunch. I just got me some lucky strikes. He said, Dad, it was easier for me to lay alcohol back down when I prayed. He said, I prayed. I prayed again. I prayed, Lord, help me. Lord, help me. Lord, help me. Thank God for grace and mercy. And he said, Lord, he said, Dad, he said, I used to buy a 12-pack every night. Now, that's a lot of alcohol. That's a lot of anything to drink. I couldn't drink a 12-pack of water. He said, I haven't touched another drink. He said, all my family been trying to cut down on cigarettes and can't. And he said, I was able to give that. I said, son, that's because God reached down. God heard your cry. God is still with you. God is still reaching out to you. Get up and go on. Hallelujah. I feel like praying now more than ever. Because I see the enemy trying to undo what God has accomplished. But he can't do it if we pray. I'm convinced of that. We're going to see victory if we keep praying. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Are you glad someone is challenging you and telling you that things will happen? Are you glad I have setbacks too and discouragements too? Are you glad to know that if I can come through, you can? I'm not special. God is special. Hallelujah. Jesus is faithful. Hallelujah. 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 Praise the Lord. Glory to the Lamb of God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. A man was approaching me on the sidewalk. And I'm walking and praying in tongues. The Spirit of God is on me. He's approaching. I got on my Shrek hat and my jeans and my old shirt and my tennis shoes, and I'm walking along, and so he didn't think I was a derelict. I took out my cell phone and he thought I was from another country. I didn't want to interrupt the Holy Ghost, so I just took out my cell phone. And as we passed, I was going, shalabadiyandadabokosidiyandadabababa. And he looked around at me like he one of them terrorists. I know he is. I ain't never heard nobody in America talk like that. Wonder which one of them Arab countries he's from. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Oh, so if you're praying in public, the Holy Ghost comes on you, just take out your cell phone and keep on praying. Can you say amen? They'll think you're from another country. May think you're from another planet. Praise God. Amen. But God is on the throne. And God wants to move to bring honor to his name by delivering you and me. Can you say amen? Hold on. Hold on, pray on, and hold on, hallelujah, and come in fellowship with us so we can encourage you, and so you can hear testimonies from people just like you, with problems just like you, that God is coming through for. Can you say, man, I say people just like you, with problems just like you, that God is helping. Hallelujah. Be encouraged. Will you do that? Hallelujah. Let's join hands and we'll just quit in prayer tonight. God is so good. God is so good. Are you glad for the time we have spent here tonight? Did I hand it to you? You're ready? Praise God. Well, I'm going to go home on a Christmas note. I don't know what to expect next Sunday. I know all kinds of things are going on. And those of you that can, it's his birthday. after all. And I promise it won't be. This is time. We're interceding here tonight. We didn't break this. I thought about breaking this, and the Holy Spirit moved on me at home, and He said, "You keep praying. You keep praying. There's too much at stake to just, you know, well, let's just quit over Christmas and let it slide. No, let's keep on praying. One service next Sunday morning, but pray anyway. Praise God. Even if we're not here, pray anyway. Shalaba ro shalaba Sunday night. Biba hosanda da bakose. Shalaba rianda da bakosatai. Father, we thank you for your goodness. We thank you for sending Jesus. We thank you for challenging us to pray. We thank you for all that we're learning, what you're building into this church. This church is becoming a house of prayer. This church is becoming a house of prayer. This church is becoming a house of prayer. And Father, because it is, we're going to see your hand move mightily in the name of Jesus, in this community, in our families, in our nation, internationally, through the doors that you've opened for us to reach out from this little place, simply because we are consistent before you in prayer, in the name of Jesus, for the glory of God. And all those that want those answers to come and need them desperately said, amen and amen. Let's give him praise. You can go right now if you need to, but let's give him praise before we leave here.